I want a shiny badge.
Hello, and welcome to Drupal Easy Podcast number 51. We passed over 50 very unceremoniously, but we have made some sort of a milestone here. We've been doing the show for almost exactly 2 years now, so that's proof of how often we do this thing, if you can do math. My name is Ryan Price. I am going to be your host for today, and the orange cat is over in the corner, if you can hear him. And we have with us our regular co-host, Mr. Michael Anello.
Hey, I just got a really strong public radio vibe when you said the orange cat for some reason.
I thought that was your nickname.
He keeps me in the corner.
And the other voice you hear would be Jake Strawn joining us from New Hampshire. What city in New Hampshire?
Manchester.
Manchester.
How much snow is on the ground, Jake?
Well, quite a few feet right now, all plowed up nicely, covering sidewalks and all that good stuff. Awesome. And more coming tonight. It's excellent.
I'll be up in Vermont next week enjoying it.
Excellent, excellent. So a lot has happened in the last 2 weeks in the land of Drupal, and we intend to really just focus laser sight on a very specific topic, which is, you know, this thing you might have heard of maybe sometime in the last 2-3 years. It's called Drupal 7.
Dun, dun, dun.
And, you know, it exists. It's not in beta. It's not an alpha. It's not a release candidate. It's 1.0. It's 7.0. It's here. Welcome. Welcome, Drupal 7. That's what I have to say.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's been a long time in the making. It's for the first time that I'm aware of, they actually announced the release date ahead of time. Was it like a week and a half, 2 weeks before? They said it was going to be out on, was it January 5th, I'm thinking? Is that what the date was?
It was, and they actually hit that date.
You know, they had some great marketing efforts. I think the one that everyone's talking about is the huge animation on a building in Rotterdam. I don't know if you guys saw the YouTube video for that, but that was pretty cool. They had the Drupal icon animated. I think it was a big D7 on the side of a building.
Very cool. Very cool. And yeah, I mean, it was really a global effort, the whole Drupal 7 release thing. I know we had a party down here in Orlando. Probably fewer than about 10 people showed up to that. And I know, Jake, you guys had a party not only in Boston, which is sort of the big city near you guys, but in New Hampshire as well, right?
Right. We're only about 45 minutes outside of Boston. And we were really debating because we knew the Boston group would have a huge turnout and you know, lots of big names there. But we stayed locally and, you know, represented our local New Hampshire community. And It was definitely a small event, but a lot of fun.
You know, there's actually another big milestone in the Drupal community that just happened a couple of days ago that kind of was a little bit under the radar. It's kind of like having your birthday a few days after Christmas. Is you know, where Christmas is the Drupal 7 release. Drupal turned 10 years old on January 15th. Been exactly 10 years since the Drupal 1.0 release. So it's been a big couple of weeks for milestones in the Drupal community.
That's amazing. And, you know, speaking on that January 5th, you know, release date they pitched with the birthday being on the 15th, I'm wondering why they didn't wait until then just for that reason.
I think Webchick wanted some sleep.
Right. That's probably quite true.
She wasn't going to wait any longer. Anyway, I don't think we need to talk too much about everything that's in Drupal 7. There's plenty of great places to check that out. And, I mean, that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about for the next few months anyway, as it kind of gets ramped up and more modules are released for it and more people start building sites. You know, we're going to very quickly transition from talking about Drupal 6 stuff to Drupal 7 stuff.
Well, I have a quick question for both of you guys. Do you have a new favorite thing, like something that used to kind of bother you about Drupal 6 that now you know is, you know, built into Drupal 7, or something that's going to be way easier to build in Drupal 7 that you just like thank you to one of the contributors that's out there?
I have one, but I haven't really taken advantage of it yet. And I think that Drupal 7 is really going to streamline the profile process for building user profiles. Because right now when you build a user profile, you can use like the core profile module, or you can use content profile. And depending on which of those decisions, images get handled differently, and it integrates with other modules differently. I think the fact that we finally have fields in core that allows, you know, now there's like the one best way to handle user profiles. I think that's going to smooth over a lot of the speed bumps that that developers have when building sites, and newbies have when understanding, like, how do I create a profile?
Awesome. Yeah, that's actually really high on my list, too. I am building a Drupal 7 site right now, and it involves user profiles. So I'm kind of evaluating both the core user with field support versus the Profile 2 module. And they're very similar, but Profile 2 is a little bit more like Content Profile, where you sort of have like an extra page where you keep all of your settings and your user data and stuff like that. I don't think that fields on users will ever go away. So I think there's a good situation to use one versus the other. And, you know, I'm glad that both of them exist still, even though we've upgraded and sort of modernized everything. Do you have one, Jake?
I do. Well, several. I've, you know, for the past long time already been using Drupal 7 and, you know, really trying to, you know, see all these new things and, you know, figure out how to utilize them in the best way. Picking one quickly, I'm going to say quite simply the ability for themes to do actions like form alters. I think that was such a huge step forward, you know, when a lot of form alters are just changing the text on a submit button. The need to, like, you know, revert back to the module layer to create, you know, a little glue module to change, you know, one simple piece of text was, you know, really kind of ridiculous pre-Drupal 7. And I'm hoping what, you know, that leads to, and one of the things I want to kind of start pushing eventually, is that, you know, the theme layer should be almost, if not identical, to the module layer and be able to really do a lot of the same things. I know there's like some security issues there and, you know, a lot of discussion to be had on that, but seeing themes get a lot more power has really, really made me happy.
But Jake, don't you think that there's a little bit of a danger there in finding new or moving new designers to learning how to do themes, because it kind of raises the bar?
Well, I do, but I think at the same time, there's, you know, such an expanse of what you can do on the theme layer. And you see some that, you know, maybe is a contributed theme on Drupal.org that's just, you know, click it, install it, and change some CSS, and that's all it's supposed to be. But, you know, I think for those of us working on base themes that really, you know, that we're hoping to power, you know, all the themes out there, you know, the things that we need to be able to do on the back end need to push a little further. I think there could be a way there that, you know, it didn't confuse it for the quick themer that's just using, you know, CSS and some simple edits to make a theme, but for the advanced developer trying to put together some advanced functionality on the theme layer would be nice too.
Maybe we need a theme layer.
Right. Maybe somebody would tell me I just need to make my own theme engine. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, the PHP template is so sort of simple but powerful as it stands. Right. It's like, do you really need to mess with that? I mean, to use examples, like one thing I like to do in this situation, you know, is compare it to something else that I've used before. Like if you look at something like WordPress, you can do almost anything in a WordPress theme that you could with a WordPress plugin. There's very few restrictions in the API like we would have with Drupal.
Right.
And if you look specifically, there's a great WordPress theme out there called K2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a couple of those guys are actually Drupal developers who also develop in WordPress. And a couple of those guys actually went and started their own content management system because they saw sort of the limits with WordPress. K2, it basically, it's this whole other interface on top of WordPress. And then other versions of WordPress came out and they sort of obsoleted some of the things that K2 was doing. So it was clear that the themes were sort of like advancing way faster than the core could with WordPress. And WordPress core actually advances pretty quickly. So if that's any indication, you know that theme development in WordPress was really where it was happening for a couple of years there. And I don't think that's the same with Drupal development. It's really all about modules and APIs with us.
Right.
But, you know, going back to Jake's point about, you know, handing more power to the theme layer, you know, we kind of do, you know, there is a lot of power in the theme layer, you know, even going from 6 to 7, there's a lot more power in Drupal 7. And that's kind of where the idea of base themes, and I know that that's something Jake knows a little bit about, you know, a base theme is almost, you know, I jokingly said it a second ago, but then I started thinking about it, is almost a theme layer. You know, for a designer who wants to create a Drupal theme, they might, you know, most of the time they're not going to have to start from scratch. You know, they can start from a good base theme, which kind of abstracts, you know, some of the guts of a Drupal theme and just allows the designer to kind of, you know, put their stuff on top of it.
Right, because there's really so much that the theme layer can already do. Mm-hmm. You know, even going back to Drupal 6, that, you know, the new designer themer to Drupal, you know, is really going to know nothing about. That is where those base themes come in and, you know, kind of hopefully try to give an interface to that for, you know, for somebody to get in there and quickly do some of those tasks and utilize some of that functionality without even actually ever understanding what is powering it.
Right, right.
So back to our, I guess, our regular stories here. Like, I love this discussion. I feel like we could do this for a while. But we have some really interesting numbers that came out of the Drupal 7 sort of release cycle, right, Mike?
Yeah, our friend Greg Knadison from GVS, you know, I think he does this every time there's a big release of Drupal where he'll pull some statistics from contributors. And so for Drupal 7, he did this, and some of the cool facts he found, there were 954 people mentioned on Drupal 7 core commits. And out of those 954, the top 20% of those 954, which is, you know, a little bit less than 200, were mentioned or in 85% of the tickets, which is basically saying that, you know, roughly 20% of the people participated in 85% of the core commits, which is, you know, a pretty significant number, but, you know, also kind of exciting to know that it's not just 4 or 5 people working on Drupal core, but, you know, there were, you know, close to 200 people who were really actively involved. And if you're talking about a software company that has 200 people working for them, that's a serious software company. You know, and we're just an open source community. And I used the word just. I had air quotes. I don't know if you guys saw this. There are definitely air quotes around the word just. the top 10 people, and this is kind of goes to the other side of it, the top 10 most mentioned people were in 30% of the commits. So while we had almost 200 people and 85% of them, you know, 10 of those people were really busy. And I think there were somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 patches. So 30% of 6,000 is somewhere, you know, around, what, 2,000 patches. So 10 people were involved in 2,000 patches each. That's significant.
Well, and apparently something that was very different about the Drupal 7 development cycle was the whole automated testing bit. Mm-hmm. So from what I understand, the fact that we went from essentially 0% code coverage to almost 100% from version 6 to version 7 meant that we probably have more commits, more committers, and more discussion because of the automated tests in this cycle than, like, Drupal 7 might end up being the spike on the graph if you were to, you know, map out everything over, you know, up through Drupal 15, for example.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I mean, 3 years. This is the longest development cycle we've had. And there is talk about making the development cycle for Drupal 8, you know, a lot shorter, not being as aggressive in what's going to go into Drupal 8, you know, trying to shorten it, you know, at least by a year, if not more.
Well, very cool. And, you know, we've got a lot of things that, I mean, we said this before, but this is really our, like, Drupal 7 is out kind of show. So one thing that happened recently was, you know, Drupal got mentioned on sort of like the national press. So CNN says, check out Drupal as one of the sort of like fastest moving websites. What exactly did CNN say about Drupal, Mike?
Yeah, I have it right here. So this was in an article, 10 websites to watch in 2011. And I'm going to read some of these just to give you the idea of, you know, what kind of company, you know, we're in here. Kickstarter, OpenLeaks, Clout with a K, Hipmunk, Guilt Group, Diaspora. And these are all kind of up and coming. A lot of these are social media type sites. Quora, I think that's probably one that's been the most talked about.
Quora might be the most well-known of most of these, right?
Yeah, yep. Groove Shark. Well, Foursquare, I guess, is, you know, yes. Foursquare is last on the list. But Drupal, and then Drupal is, you know, one of the 10 as well. And so CNN says, quote, WordPress might get most of the love in the open source CMS space for good reason, but Drupal provides a powerful option for individuals, organizations, and brands that want to power complex, robust sites. With Drupal 7 set for release in early 2011, the Drupal team is actively addressing one area the CMS has always received criticism: usability. Thanks to shops like Development Seed and Lullabot, the Drupal ecosystem is becoming extremely impressive. Acquia, the commercial company from Drupal founder Dries Beitart, continues to raise funding and offer an array of commercial and support services that better enhance the platform as a whole. So this is, you know, it's an article actually from Mashable that CNN picked up, but I actually caught it, you know, via a link from the CNN homepage. So, you know, definitely this article was, you know, widely distributed, and you know, Drupal is in good company, I think.
Very cool. And, you know, it's always nice to see. I mean, even if it is because it was originally on Mashable, it's great to see Drupal get mentioned in the national press like that, because you know that there have got to be some sort of, like, big decision makers, like, people who maybe they've heard of Drupal a few times. Maybe they haven't. I mean, I just did, last week, I did a nonprofit talk at a local private college. And a lot of the people, they had heard of WordPress, they hadn't heard of Drupal. And so it just sort of like depends on what you get exposed to. But maybe that last mention of Drupal would sort of take them over the edge and say, let me research this a little bit more. Let me find out what it's all about. So getting those national stories is, you know, even if they get a little bit of the information wrong, hopefully they can sort of make people want to find out more.
Yeah, I think the only other time I remember seeing Drupal on kind of a mainstream news site, you know, a non-tech news site, is when WhiteHouse.gov launched. And there was a mention that it's powered by open source Drupal. And they kind of went on with this discussion, not specific to Drupal, but specific to the fact that the White House is now using open source software. But no, this was fantastic. This was a nice surprise, and you know, kudos to you know, to the community for, you know, doing whatever it took to get on this list.
It's come a long way for sure.
Yeah.
And our last sort of regular story this week is something that came up on the Lullabots podcast just recently. They put out a graph, and I guess they maybe used this during their Drupal 7 release party, where one of the Lullabots is based, because they're not really all in the same city. But they put up this, it's just a PDF, so you can download it and check it out. And it's basically, how do I decide whether or not to upgrade to Drupal 7? And the short version is, if your modules aren't available and you don't know how to write code and apply patches, then it's probably not for you. The long version is kind of neat. There's this whole sort of decision tree, and it sort of like tries to inspire you, like, well, get involved, do some testing, write some patches, you know, download some beta code, check out some things from CVS, or a lot of things seem to be on GitHub lately too, which is kind of good and kind of bad. But here it is. It's the tree. It's kind of a neat little document.
Yeah, I actually, when I listened to their podcast a couple of days ago, that was actually the one thing that, as soon as I was done listening, I said, I got to find this chart. It's, you know, what a clever idea. You know, those clever Lullabots, they put this little graph together. And it, you know, for anyone who's been doing Drupal for any amount of time, it's all obvious stuff. But for, you know, our clients, you know, for them just to ask us, hey, Drupal 7's out, should we switch? And for us to go, no, you don't want to switch yet, you know. And you can provide, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to say a little bit more than that, but here's a nice, you know, flow chart that you can kind of walk them through and say, well, here's the methodology for deciding when we should switch. This is kind of the responsible thing to do. And yeah, so, and that podcast that they just came out with is, you know, chock full of Drupal 7 goodness. So definitely check that one out as well.
Yeah, I actually can't wait to hear that one. This little chart is amazing, and I'm one of the big supporters of, I will argue for days on Drupal 7's ready. It'll build your site, you know, with the rare exception of, you know, you're trying to build a powerful e-commerce today and have it launch tomorrow. You know, you're probably not ready, but so many things are at least in a state, you know, in my opinion, that is ready for launch. And some of the projects I'm working on now in D7 have, you know, from my experience, push the limits of what it can do already.
Yeah, I think it's funny because a lot of Drupal shops, you know, Drupal Easy included, and even Lullabot makes mention of it in their most recent podcast, is they're a little bit, you know, we're conservative when it comes to, and that's their word, but I like it, so I'm going to steal it for this. You know, they're conservative in recommending when to go to the next version of Drupal. You know, Drupal 6 works fine. Drupal 6 is going to be supported for, you know, quite some time, you know, security updates. And all the modules are there. And, you know, unless there's a specific reason why you need something in Drupal 7, Drupal 6 still works. You know, for me, I'm going to speak for Ryan here, but Ryan, feel free to jump in. You know, for a client to come to us and ask us to move to Drupal 7, at this point, you know, the stars are all going to have to be aligned for us to agree to that. For a new client to come to us and say, hey, I have this not terribly complex site, you know, can we build this? You know, we'll probably say, yeah, let's do this in Drupal 7. Just starting a fresh site in Drupal 7 is going to be a heck of a lot easier right now than starting a migration from Drupal 6 to Drupal 7.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the one example that I can come up with is one of the very first client sites I ever built with Drupal 7. It was actually, or it's in Drupal 7, way back in the day, Drupal 5. In fact, image cache, I believe, at the time we wrote this, didn't exist for Drupal 5. So I ended up writing the module maintainer and saying, can you backport this? And so I guess maybe Drupal 6 had sort of like, it was just coming out or was just getting ready to come out. And it was sort of at that like really critical stage where there were a lot of Drupal 5 modules that were already out there. You could use all of them. There were a couple of things that didn't exist, but they were sort of being developed on the Drupal 6 side. And it was just sort of that like magical era. And we ended up, you know, building this fairly simple site, but with a few of those little bells and whistles like image cache and light boxes and things like that, that at the time were still kind of fresh. I think in the same thread, you know, to do a Drupal 7 site now, a little extra work, but you could really get something kind of flashy done. Yeah. That was not too, it wasn't too functionally heavy, but it was very visually stunning, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, those are our stories for today, and so we have a little bit of business to take care of. I would like to plug, if I actually haven't checked this today, so hopefully there's still some spots left. I'm going to be teaching a theming, Drupal 7 theming training at DrupalCon Chicago on the day before the conference starts. And that is, I believe, $350 on top of your regular registration. I don't set the prices for that. That's what the conference set up. And we only have 20 spots for that, but definitely should be interesting if you know a designer who maybe works at your shop or a friend of yours who's trying to get into doing Drupal theming. This would be a good, you know, intro to Drupal theming. Or if you know a little bit of Drupal 6 theming and you want to learn what's new in Drupal 7, that's kind of what we're going to be going over. We're going to do some like real world examples based on taking a PDF, converting it to a Drupal theme, and then taking a base theme, building it up to sort of a Drupal 7 friendly theme. And it's going to be an all day class. Check it out. And then we would like to say thank you to our friends in Colorado at Web Enabled. Salim and Jeff and all those guys over there, they hook us up with some free development tools. So we'd like to give them a shout out during the show. And what do we have for today, Mike?
You know, we always try and come up with something that we can talk about with Web Enabled. And in the past couple of weeks, the one thing that you know, I've been using with Web Enabled a lot is project sharing is the word I've been using, but I don't know if that's the term they use, is for Florida Drupal Camp, which is coming up next month. We're actually building the site on Web Enabled. And as more developers come on board, or if they need, people building the site need a hand with something like they did last week, all they did was they simply added my Web Enabled account to their project, and poof, I had instant access to everything I needed. I had access to the control panel, to the source code, to the database, and I could kind of get in there and start monkeying around. So it's a really nice, safe way to do team development. You can choose from Git or Subversion for source code control, not to mention just all of the tools they have for managing cron and drush and the database and all that stuff right from the web-enabled user interface. So if you are a developer and either you manage your own server or you don't have a development server other than your personal machine, you know, definitely check out web-enabled. It really makes it easy to do team development, even if your team is 2 or 3 people or 30 or 40 people.
But I believe that the lowest paid account you can get is less than $10, and it is still more disk space and bandwidth and more website accounts than you can get from a lot of the commercial hosting providers that are out there. But the things that they are offering completely free are now time limited. So everybody's put on sort of a level playing field with Web Enabled now.
Yeah, it's a great service. And the support is just, anytime there's a problem, if it's during regular business hours, they have that kind of online chat thing going. So most problems are solved, you know, within just a few minutes. Great. And usually it's an operator error, I hate to say.
Fantastic.
Hey, we also have a Florida Drupal Camp coming up. I just mentioned it. We should mention it again.
Well, and we have actually gotten some more potential sponsors hooked up this week. We still have a few spots open for that. I believe that with certain levels of sponsorship, we're offering a session if you're interested in doing that kind of stuff. Obviously, some space on the t-shirt, the website, things like that. And it's going to be a fantastic event. We have, in the morning, we're going to be doing a roundtable discussion with a bunch of people who have recently launched a Drupal site or are getting ready to launch one. So sort of like Drupal from the decision maker's perspective. We have two rooms that are dedicated completely to sort of like the business side of building sites, running campaigns, marketing, social media, project planning, stuff like that. And then we have two rooms that are completely dedicated to development. Theming, user experience, all of the sort of like normal Drupal stuff that you might expect to see. And then we have one room that's completely and utterly for I have never seen Drupal before. What is a content management system? How do I upload files to my website? All that kind of like really just, I don't know anything, beginner stuff. So we're trying to make a little bit of something for everybody with our Drupal camp. And it's in the most beautiful building in Orlando, Rollins College. It's just a great, great, great venue. You've been there too, Mike. I know you've seen it.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've teamed up with the Rollins College Philanthropy and Nonprofit Leadership Center. Rollins is it's a private college in Winter Park, which is just outside of Orlando. And the Philanthropy and Nonprofit Leadership Center is kind of co-hosting the event with us. So there's going to be a large contingent of people from NGOs. And we have, you know, two huge auditoriums and a bunch of there's a funny name for them. They're like IT classrooms, but they like every room has like video cameras and terminals and multiple screens. It's going to be, I'm more excited to present there than I have been anywhere.
That's just great.
Yeah.
I've started to see a lot of camps I've been to recently that, you know, it seems to be they're, you know, starting to step it up more and more as, you know, DrupalCons get bigger, that, you know, the camps are getting more organized and, you know, better equipment and, you know, less just get together bar camp style events. We actually have one coming up this weekend, Saturday the 22nd, in Western Massachusetts at the University of Mass Amherst. It's the first, I think, Drupal camp that they've done out there.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. And I will be doing, sadly, an early morning presentation there on my Omega and Delta work. But it looks to be a really good event. And it's always nice to have a camp right down the road that you can visit, contribute to, and, you know, always meet new people.
That's funny because I'm actually flying up Saturday morning, and I was actually toying with the idea of driving up there for the afternoon. So I might actually see you there, Jake.
Hey, it'd be worth the drive up.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway,
Jake, do you have a website address for that camp?
Yes, it is DrupalCampMA.com.
Fantastic. So, and we should also have fldrupalcamp.org. Crossing my fingers up very, very, very soon. So hopefully that'll be there by the time this podcast goes out.
It will now. Oh, man.
I will send somebody a text message at this exact moment. We'll see what happens. Mike, do we have a pick of the week? We're doing that stuff. Yes, we're doing picks of the week. Here we go.
Yes, there you go.
Would you want to start?
Yeah, I'll do mine. Mine's kind of quick. So mine is the Shurly module, Shurly, by Jeff Robbins. And I actually struggled with the pick of the week because I really try and look for a module that I've used that's been new to me since the previous podcast. And the past 2 weeks, I haven't really used that much that's new other than this module. And this is it's a module that you use to set up a URL shortening service. And it is ridiculously easy to use. So, you know, we have a client that, you know, bought a really super short domain name and wanted to have their own URL shortening service for use on Twitter or Facebook or wherever. So literally all I did was download a fresh copy of Drupal 6, download this module, turn some stuff on, and put it up on the host, and the client loves it. It works as advertised. It's super easy to use. It provides some really nice statistics, and it has some features that, you know, once you dig into a little bit, can actually be really useful. You can create, you know, custom short URLs where you define actually what the short URL is, or you can let the software kind of generate, you know, the kind of little hash that goes there. But I was blown away just by how easy and fast it was to set up.
Wow. That's actually great. I use Bitly myself, and I have their pro that I can use my own short domain on. And okay. I would much rather run that out of Drupal because I still am limited to, you know, the names that are already taken all across mm-hmm. Bitly service. So that's an excellent one to check out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They, you know, when Jeff and the guys over at Lullabot wrote it, you know, they said that, you know, the idea was they wanted to take the best of URL shortening services that they had seen and incorporate that into Drupal module. And, you know, it's a home run as far as I can tell so far.
Awesome.
So it's SHURLY, surely.
Very cool. This is going to be something, just like Mike said, I try to find a module that I have used recently. This is something I've been researching, but I haven't actually got a chance to deploy it yet. It's called the Rate module, and I know for a long time, for voting API modules, there have been things like, you know, 5-star was kind of like the original one. There's the Vote Up Down. If you've seen groups.drupal.org recently, you've definitely seen that one. There's been some other things, and, you know, some of my favorite ones with those, if you ever have a site with user points, you want to make sure that your user points and your voting API stuff can go together. But this Rate module, it just has so many widgets and it's so configurable. And the thing that really jumped out at me, and the thing I was trying to find, hopefully somebody had built a Drupal module that did this, was that this content, let's say you're going to vote on a node, or maybe you're going to vote on a comment, this node makes me angry. This node makes me happy. This node makes me confused. So it sort of gives you those arbitrary scales that you can vote on things. And the idea was to build something a lot like the service called Get Satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And so along with the voting on Get Satisfaction, you're leaving a comment, they also let you leave that emotional tag, as it were, on there as well. And that was something we were really hoping to be able to find, and just that existed as a Drupal module, so we wouldn't have to do a whole lot of engineering work. And it looks like it's going to work great, and he's already putting out like a dev version of a Drupal 7 module too, so hopefully you'll be able to use it in Drupal 7 soon.
Yeah, Drupal 7 looks like it's a beta 1.
There you go.
And it uses voting API on the back end. Let's see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at this point, I hope that maybe someday voting API is going to move its way on into core, because it's just, you know, you don't need it for every site, but for the modules that do any sort of ratings or votings now, they seem to all use voting API. It's the same thing, you know, like if everything uses CCK, if everything uses views, let's make that supported, you know?
Jake, what do you have?
Well, for me, in my couple times now of being on this podcast, I'm not doing the traditional something I've used since the last podcast. I think I'm going to revert to the what have I built since the last podcast.
All about you, Jake.
Right. We'll go with that. I've actually, and again, just kind of reverting on Drupal 7. That's all I've been working on lately. And, you know, my base theme, Omega, that I've been spending hundreds and hundreds of hours with, I've talked about it at cons and camps, and always had these few slides at the end that talked about this really cool feature that was really only in my head for quite some time. And I finally released this past week the Delta module, which provides, and currently only for use with my base theme. There was some trickery involved in getting that kind of working. What it allows is to use the Omega base theme and the context module in Drupal 7. And for a moment of history on Omega, there's, you know, hundreds of settings that allow you to resize regions and move them.
Yes, there are.
Hundreds and hundreds.
I have recently rolled out an Omega based site, and it took me a while to figure out that nothing kind of comes configured out of the box, but once I did, I was like, right. Oh, okay, here we go.
And you can configure everything right there. Yeah. My main issue with that always was, you know, that was limited to, you know, one setting site wide. So what Delta does is allow you to kind of take a copy of those theme settings, of that, you know, that crazy form that you're filling out that lays out your content, you know, all across the site. And it allows you to create this, you know, quote unquote layout that now you can plug in using context. So I can go into the context module and say on my front page, I want to get rid of these four regions. I want to reorder these three regions and resize, you know, these last two regions. So for any method of context you have, you can now, with the Omega Base theme, do a completely new layout for a blog or for the homepage or for a special section of the site. It turned out to actually be quite easy to implement. And I'm already using it on a couple of sites and a couple that are about to go into production. So I'm really excited to see where that goes. And that's actually almost the focus of my talk next weekend at our Drupal camp in Western Mass. It's exciting.
So yeah, Jake, if I can take a step back and try to help the audience understand here.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. But if they haven't seen Omega before, they may not get it. So I want to help people understand.
Please do.
If you've used any of the sort of more, let's say, modern Drupal themes, particularly some of the stuff that Top Notch Themes has been putting out, you notice that they've got like 13, 15, 18 regions in them. And Omega is no different. It's got several regions that it sort of comes baked with. And because it's based on a grid system, in this case, the 960 grid system, it lets you say, all right, these three regions at the top, they're all next to each other, but I want one of them to be six columns wide and the other one to be six columns wide. And the third one, don't even show that. And then the next one down, I want this to be 10 columns wide and this to be two columns wide. And the next one down, I want them all to be three columns wide, and so on and so on. There's lots and lots of options. And then there were a few cases where it sort of said, like, by default, I want to do this, but it gave you the impression that maybe you could do something else if there were different content types, or maybe if there were different kinds of pages, and something that maybe you used to have to do with panels, but as Mike has proven with his tutorials a couple of times, you don't need panels to do complex layouts. You just kind of need, you know, some fancy regions. And the Omega system that you've built, it takes a lot of those complex layout things and turns them into a GUI. It turns them into all kind of drop-down boxes and stuff. So it just it really takes the really hardcore, like, grid layout business out of text files, you know? And that's kind of what I think the Drupal interface is all about, right?
That's great, Ryan. Would you be willing for me to pay you to write a blog post for myself? Is that maybe the best explanation of Omega ever?
Well, I really, you know, I've played with your theme before, and then just recently I rolled out just a fun site for myself, and I was, you know, kind of like going to go back to one of my old standard base themes, and I said, you know, Omega, I used it before. I want to really understand how this thing works. And once I sort of like wrapped my head around it, I really thought that the one thing that was missing was what you've just described, which is this context aware piece of it that you want to have. Sometimes you want to have wide center column with the sidebar, and sometimes you want to have flexible sidebar. Sometimes you want to have this, you know, these different configurations, but it's, you know, especially if you were to try to explain that to somebody and then say, now type this out,
right?
They might just run in the other direction screaming.
it's definitely come a long way and still has much more to go. But, you know, this latest version for Drupal 7 is just amazing. And so far I haven't run across anything I can't build with it. So
that's exciting.
It's been a lot of fun just to play with. I guess I'm using the alpha.
The new 2 version, right?
Well, it's on Drupal 6, so whatever comes with 6.
Oh.
In this case, I needed 6 because there was a module that wasn't ready for 7. Go back to the chart so you can see the Drupal 7 upgrade chart. I tried Drupal 7, fail. Like memory leak or something. I don't even know what was going on. But I said, Omega, it works for Drupal 6. And I've been happy with it so far.
Oh, that's great. The 6 version is definitely neat, but, you know, where it's gone in 7 is just absolutely amazing. Actually, in related news to that, I don't know when they launched it. Training Aquia.com actually launched using the Omega theme for Drupal 6 as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, we know, Mike and I know that they've been working on that because they've been trying to partner with some Drupal companies that provide training, as we do. So we've sort of been waiting for them to roll out something a little more formal. And I know definitely this week they really started to push on their existing mailing list. We have a training site. So that should be, it should be cool to watch what happens with that. You know, that was one thing that we, everybody is waiting. This is completely tangential to everything else we're talking about, but this was it in San Francisco, I guess. The whole subject of certification and what is Aquia doing, you know, how, what is Aquia going to do about offering a Drupal certification, blah, 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 blah. Well, we don't have a training program yet, so we can't talk about that. So this is sort of like step one in that process, is offer an Aquia training program, and then we'll talk about maybe someday in the future doing certifications.
I want a shiny badge.
That's right. Certified to rock. So, Mike, I guess we do have one more story, and that would be a big sort of Drupal 7 site got released recently.
Yeah, it's actually not just one site. It was more of an announcement with a bunch of sites. The U.S. House of Representatives is moving to Drupal, and not just Drupal, but Drupal 7. And it's not the actual house.gov site, and I'm going to say yet. I assume eventually that will go. But what they did, what it appears that they've done, I don't know for sure, but from what I can tell, all of the incoming freshman representatives, and there's a pretty big number of them, their new websites are all running on Drupal 7. This is a project that was put together by a number of companies. I actually saw it announced on Dries's blog. Aquia was involved. Phase 2 and another company, Ingalls Information Security. I don't believe that they're a Drupal-specific company. But regardless, they were all involved in the process. So individual house member sites and committee sites have been launched on Drupal 7. And there's a significant number of them just from the freshman house alone. I'm not counting up the list, but I would say there's probably 70 or 80. If I was a speed counter, perhaps I'd have a better idea.
Definitely the Kmart.
The second half of that is that the contract to build out the remaining sites is not exclusive to these companies. It's kind of up to the each representative who's going to build out their site. So there's actually a call for vendors who want to be involved in this process. Presumably, I'm going to assume that representatives would like to hire companies that are in their own state, which is kind of interesting because that kind of spreads the love a little bit.
Well, don't we have like 400 plus? This is a very U.S.-centric topic, but don't we have like 400 plus representatives?
You need to go back to high school, young Mr. Price. I believe it's 536 or 535. I'm hoping someone will give me the benefit of the doubt if I'm one or two off. So there's a lot of them. There's a whole big mess of them, plus the committee sites. So don't ask me how many committee sites. I won't be joining you in remedial history, I suppose.
You know, I did see this story posted, and it is quite amazing just with the sheer number of sites they're putting out, but then the call for people to submit their information to become potentially an approved vendor. And I think they were, if I remember what I read right, they were having in February at some point almost a weekend or one day conference for, these potential vendors that might be, webcast or something for those that couldn't actually attend. But I think there's a lot of opportunity out there for, those businesses, the Drupal shops and, independence to really get in there and, hopefully get a piece of that.
Yeah, there actually is a, they call it a web vendor conference sometime in February, just to talk to interested vendors. But yeah, Jake, it's exciting. It's one of those things where it's a great announcement and it's a great feather in the cap for the companies involved. But this is really in the spirit of kind of open source, saying, hey, we built this foundation. Mm. And I don't know if it's, if they're using multi-site or how they're doing. I would assume, with Acquia involved, it's probably something similar. But to kind of open it up and say, okay, well, we've built this, but the house is saying we need to open it up even more, that's exciting. So definitely, if you're interested in participating, check out the link. We'll have it in the show notes.
And even for those that don't necessarily get on the vendor list or ever deal with one of these projects, it's still just such a huge leap, I think, for Drupal as a community that, to continue to get these kind of projects like the whitehouse.gov and, continue on this path is good for everybody.
Well, we're exactly, I believe we're exactly halfway to taking over the entire government now, because there are three branches of government. So we have the executive branch. We have half of the congressional branch. The judicial branch, we're still, we got to make some inroads there.
So who's starting the Dries 2012 campaign?
Exactly.
I'll be a spokesperson. I'll do whatever it takes.
Yes. Well, we're going to have to get, I think we'll have to get an amendment changed, before he can run for president. But
should we push Webcheck then?
Well, I think she's Canadian, isn't she?
Oh, that's right.
Us Americans, we're just, we've just hopped on the back of the Drupal bandwagon. We're just along for the ride. We're not driving the bus.
Well, Jake, it has been super awesome having you on the show. Would you like to give us a quick plug for your Drupal business?
Didn't I already do that with all my module talk and theme talk?
I think you have something very specific, don't you, Jake, that you're kind of doing now?
I agree with Jake. I think Jake said enough, hasn't he? No, I'm just kidding.
Very quickly, it's been a back burner project for quite some time. And, all of you out there that are independents, it's, a nonstop kind of road to ever get to, really starting the business and moving it forward. I've been working now for a good long time on setting up Development Geeks, which will, essentially be, one among, hopefully many other great Drupal shops that just a distributed shop of like-minded individuals. And for now, it's still me, but finally hoping to have a website for that launched maybe around Chicago for DrupalCon. But
well, come on, let us know when it's launched and we'll have you back on. We can, pimp that a little bit more.
I appreciate it.
Great. So, and you go by Himerus, Himerus, out there on the wide internets. You can find all of our stuff, Drupal Easy, at Drupal Easy on the Twitter. We have a friend feed account. We have obviously our website, DrupalEasy.com. And we have a Facebook page where you can go and be a fan and ask us questions. We put out these great little things. We call them quick tips. They only go to our Twitter and our Facebook pages. So you have to be subscribed to get those tips. And a lot of them come from real world experience. Hey, I just migrated all these database tables and then something was missing. We've got some help for you there. Not with us today is our good friend Andrew M. Riley, but he will be joining us next week, I'm certain. We talk a little bit more about DrupalCon and what's coming up in the next few months. My co-host today has been Mr. Mike Anello, Alta Mike, and he has a Certified to Rock score of, is it 4, Mike, or 5?
I believe it's just 4. I need to work on that, yes.
But you're still doing way better than me. Let's put it that way. I go by Liberator most places with drop the last vowel. And once again, thanks you to our friends over at Web Enabled. And you can definitely go check out their services and their fantastic development environment. Find us on the iTunes Store, the Miro Podcast Directory, or other places around the web. If you do that, please leave us a rating, leave us a comment, because other folks who come by and want to check it out, they would love to know what you think about the podcast. And definitely next week we'll be talking a little bit more about DrupalCon Chicago, what's coming up, what you can expect, and if you've never been to DrupalCon before, how to sort of prepare for that. So we'll definitely do a big to-do about DrupalCon pretty soon. And thanks one last time, Mr. Jake Strawn.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. And there's just one more thing left for us to do, Mike.
See ya.